thank Mark for leading that song this evening. I asked him to do that because there's one of the part of the lesson will be on, most of the lesson will be on love this evening. And that's what we need to do is to learn to love one another and link in that our language, things that we say, things that we do, the way that we react to that about things or to for things is going to impact us not only now, but it'll impact us in the future. It'll impact our relationships. And so think about those things when we sing these songs. What I'd like to think about tonight is that to think about that our actions have an impact. And I spoke this a little while back, but I kind of wanted to go over it again because sometimes there's a little bit of differences in here than I have. But our actions do have an impact. It impacts every area of our life. And we think sometimes that actions, our actions, could impact this country. And we know that the actions of those I'll have to start over again. It sounds like you could hear it from here, but testing. Can you hear me now? All right. Sorry about that. It sounds like it's on up here sometimes. But to go back and talk about what I started out with is that our actions have an impact. Our actions can have an impact on this country, how we believe, what we act, what we say. It can also have an impact on the companies with which we work for. And so we need to think about the things that we do because our actions do have an impact on our employers. They also have an impact on our families, and we know that this by things that we do, as the song said, the angry words, I'll never let them from the tongue unbridled slip. And sometimes we may find ourselves, you know, saying things and later regretting those things. So our language, our actions can also impact our families. And most of all, it can have an impact on the church. And so we need to think about the things that we do and that we're doing them according to God's word. And I'd like to thank Jack for his lesson this morning. It was a good lesson. I thought it was very timely, you know, an unchanging God in a changing world. And it's good to have something, as he mentioned before, as an anchor, something to hold on to, something that doesn't waver but stands true to the test of time. And so I'd like to thank Jack for bringing those things to our attention. And then look at God's actions. God's actions impacted our eternal destiny. And the things that he did, it says in John 3:16, is that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so we wouldn't have the opportunity for everlasting life if it wouldn't have been for God's gift of his only Son to this lost and dying world. So God loved us. And Jesus' actions impacted our eternal destiny too. It says that, you know, that God prepared it for him a body, and he came to do God's will. And so all the things that he did for us were for our benefit and for God's glory. So we need to think about that. What did Jesus do for us? And we need to think about it each and every day. And it says that greater love, Jesus in John 15:13 says that greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And Jesus most certainly did that for us, the godly love that he had in his heart for us, and is only way that we could be redeemed to God and to heaven. So love is the key to obedience to God's word. It's got to be in everything that we do, every action that we say or do, every action that we make. And love, if you look at 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, and you look at the first three verses, and this chapter being known as the chapter of love in the Bible, Paul writing to the Corinthians, he makes this comment, and makes this statement in 1 Corinthians 13:1, the very first verse of that chapter says that, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And so no matter how eloquent somebody's words are, no matter how beautiful they may sound, the encouragement that they might get to someone, you know, if we don't do them with love, they have no meaning. Verse 2, he says, "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing." And so we see, as we go through these first three verses in 1 Corinthians 13, is that love is the motivating factor for all of us. It's not a brotherly love, it's not an erotic love, but it's a love, a godly love, that we should have one towards another. And then Corinthians 13:3 says, "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profits me nothing." And so we need to think about our actions, the things that we do. You think about the things that we can do in helping other individuals. But what's the motivation behind it? Is it truly driven by love? You know, or does it feel like there's an obligation that we have to do that? And therefore, it's really done because of an obligation on our part, but maybe love is not really the motivating factor behind us. So all that we do, say, and even think, if we have not love, it profits nothing. But we need to think about it. What Jesus said, what Peter said as he was writing to his brother, when he said that since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. And so we talk in that song, that angry words, oh, never let them. We think about the songs that love one another. But it's not just any love. You see what Peter is saying in the last part of this verse 22 when he says, love one another fervently. There's a deep care and concern and love that he has, but not just any love. But he says, love with a pure heart. And so we need to think, why are we doing things? And do we have a pure heart in our love for others? And then we can look what true love is that God demonstrates in Romans, the 5th chapter, Paul writing, he says, God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And you think about the love that he had for us. It says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And sometimes we may have an attitude that somebody has wronged us or somebody has done something to us, and it's almost like we can't forgive them. But it says that God demonstrated his love towards us and the same kind of love that we ought to show towards others. And so what's the motivating factor behind all of our actions? Are we a forgiving people as God was towards us? Do we demonstrate our love towards others even though they may have wronged us? The ultimate example is God giving his Son and Christ dying for us. And to go back, when you think about 1 John 4:11, he says, "But if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." And so we look at the love that God had towards us, and that's the kind of love that we need to have towards one another. The love that God has, because it's for our benefit, it was for our good, that he does everything that he does for us. And so we look at it as that's what motivated God in the love that he had for his creation, that he would be willing to give his only begotten Son. And so he says that if God loved us, then we also ought to love one another. We're supposed to be a reflection of Christ and his life and of what God has wanted us to do. And then John 3:23, as we go through it, it says, "And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment." And so we have verse after verse, commands, examples that we need to love one another as he loved us. And so we want to go back and want to think about Cain and Abel for a second. We're given an example in the Genesis of what happened between Cain and Abel and their actions. It's also spoken of, you know, in the New Testament, that Cain was even used as an example of what we should not be. Genesis, the fourth chapter and verse 1, starting, it says, "Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain. And I have acquired a man," she said, "from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought the first of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell." And so we find that here's two individuals. One did what God asked him to do, and we see that God respected his offering unto him. But Cain did it his way. And I think Jack was talking about that this morning. You know, we have an unchanging God and a changing world. And sometimes we may look at things and say, well, we want to do it this way, or I'm going to offer this to God and he's going to like it whether he wants to or not. And so we find that Cain and Abel, here's this difference between these two brothers. And we find that once again, that when it says that Cain was very angry in verse 5, and his countenance fell. We look at people when they get angry or things that are really on their mind. And my wife can look at my face and she can say, "What's wrong?" Because my countenance has changed. And sometimes when we see things, especially like when you get angry, you know, that those things do impact us. Even our own reaction to our facial features, the way we look, the way that we feel, the way that we treat others, because it just goes on, and that anger doesn't do anyone any good. It doesn't do us any good, nor the individual that we're dealing with. And so we find that the Lord said in Genesis 4, 6, he says, "So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen?" And so we know God's asking him. He wants him to repeat why. And so he knows why he's angry. But in verse 7, he says, "If you do well, and will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desires for you, but you should rule over it." And so we go back and we look at the chance. We're getting ready to talk about chances or choices. And so Cain had a choice, just like we do every single day. And he elected to do things his way and not God's way. But he says that sin lies at the door and its desires for you, but you should rule over it. And that's one of the things, that sometimes there's things in our life, in our past, that we may have done or that have been part of our life that's very difficult to get rid of. It may be that things go along well for a while, and all of a sudden you find yourself kind of being sucked back into that old train of thought. The actions that you've committed in the past, they seem to bubble up. And it may be because we've kind of taken our eye off the goal, and we've stopped listening to what God's Word tells us and started kind of living life on our own. And so pretty soon, our desires are what we want to do and not what God wants to do. And they impact us, and they'll impact us eternally. Galatians, Paul writing to the Galatians in the fifth chapter in verses 14 and 15, he says, For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: you should love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. And that's really true when you think about it, is that when we don't love and we treat each other bad, pretty soon it's like, I don't know whether you've ever thought about it, people saying like, well, I don't get back, I get even. And sometimes when somebody tries to do something back that's done, somebody done something bad to them, they don't usually try to get them back in the same manner, but sometimes we always try to seem like they want to up one. And so you find this going back and forth. And I think about Cain and Abel here, is that if Cain would have loved God and said, I made a mistake, I'm sorry, you know, please forgive me for this, and he tried to do what God's word told him to do and loved his brother as he should, his brother wouldn't have died. He wouldn't have killed his brother. But we find that sometimes anger and hatred, you know, it devours us. You know, we are consumed by it. So pretty soon it's us and not them. And God says in Romans, Paul said in Romans the 13th chapter, verse 8, he says, "Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law." And so when you think about it, he's saying, do not owe anything. I'll get it out in a minute. "Owe no one anything except to love one another," is that it's not talking about us borrowing or doing something that somebody else is. But love is behind it. He says, owe no one anything except to love one another. Because if we have the proper love that we should have one toward another, then we're always going to do the right thing. If we've borrowed money from someone else or if we borrowed something, you know, we're going to make an opportunity and we're going to return it as we should. So there's a lot of things that we may do, but love is going to be the motivating factor. And therefore, we should always love one another because it's going to make a difference in how we live our lives and our eternal destiny. So I want to go back and I want to talk about this, is that our choices determine our eternal destinies. Just like God did in giving his only begotten son, Jesus, that impacted our eternal destiny. Whether we make the choice to do those things which God has told us to do or not, that's up to us. And so our choices determine our eternal destiny. And Jesus' choices determined our eternal destiny. And therefore, your destiny, as I talked before, and many of you have seen this on the overhead, but it always goes back, and I think about this, is that your destiny, my destiny, is not a matter of chance. It's not like rolling dice and playing a game at home or anything else like that where you hope that the number shows up. Our destinies are not a matter of just rolling dice, but it's a matter of choice, and we have a choice to be able to listen to God's word and do what he says, or we have the opportunity to do whatever we want to do and not listen, and we pay the consequences. And so when you come to the road, like I says, if there's a fork in the road, you better make sure that you take the right path. Paul, writing to the Romans in chapter 12, verse 16, he says, "Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. And do not be wise in your own opinion." And that's what gets us in trouble sometimes, is that we think our opinion is the only one that matters. And therefore, sometimes we won't do the things that God wants us to do because that's how strongly we believe. And he says, don't set your things on high, set your mind on high things. And that's what ends up happening and getting us in trouble as well, is because love pretty soon kind of goes aside and everything's for us. Everything's about us. Our attentions are turned toward those things of the world and not the things that God wants us to be focused on. Paul, writing to the Galatians in 5th chapter in verse 26, he says, "If we live by the Spirit or in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And let us not become conceited, provoking one another or envying one another." And so when you look at it, if we're walking as God wants us to walk, you know, then we're not going to be conceited. We're not going to do the things that we want. We're not going to provoke others. We're going to love them as we should. And we're not going to envy others, because we should be happy for them and not envious of the things which they have. And Paul, writing to the Corinthians in chapter 12, verse 24 and 25. And you talk about the church now, but he says, "But God composed the body, having greater honor," or having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, "that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another." And so we don't put ourselves above anyone else, but we learn to have the same care for each other. We've talked about this in the adult class and the study in the book of Acts. And one thing is, the church was first established in the very beginning of Acts. We find one thing that happened in God's word, as Luke wrote to Theophilus, he said that they were of the same mind and the same heart. They loved each other. They wanted to do good for each other. And so they had the same love towards one another. And Paul, writing to the Corinthians, he says, have the same care for one another. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. in honor giving preference to one another. And so we find him encouraging the Romans, as the letter was written to them, but it's also written for us, is that we need to be kindly affectionate to one another, giving preference or putting those in front of us. And so Paul wanted the Romans to do that. God wants us to do the same thing, because we are a reflection of Christ in our lives, and we do these things. Because Christ most certainly had his love towards us, and he most certainly gave us preference over his own life, that he was willing to give it on a cross. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. There's another verse that I'll say right after this, but hospitable. You may be hospitable, but as soon as that person leaves, or if you do something for someone else, the first thing they leave, no, man, it's like, I did it because I had to. You know, and you start grumbling and complaining about the things that you have to do. And so it impacts your life as well as it does those around you. And so he says, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Do those things because you love someone, not because it's an obligation on your part, but let love be the motivating factor. As he wrote to the Corinthians in chapter 13, is no matter what we do, if we don't have love, it profits us nothing. James, the fifth chapter, and it's kind of interesting when you look at what Peter says, now James says the same thing in his letter when he says, do not grumble against one another. Beware, brethren, lest you be condemned, and behold, the judge is standing at the door. And so he tells them, don't grumble against one another. And how many times have we heard brethren do that? Or maybe we've been guilty of that same sin of grumbling against someone else. This verse is kind of interesting to me, is that I think when you look at it, it says in the latter part of that verse, when he says, behold, the judge is standing at the door. Remember, we went back and we talked about in Genesis, the fourth chapter, where was sin? It was lying at the door. But it says the judge is standing. So when you think about something's lying, that someone's lying in wait, just waiting to trip you up. And so that's what it is that God said that, you know, it's sin wants you, its desire is for you, and it's lying at the door. But yet James comes along and says, behold, the judge is standing at the door. So don't grumble, brethren, lest ye be condemned. And so we want to be able to think about those things. The judge will be standing at the door. Ephesians, Paul writing to the Ephesians, he says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ forgave you. That same attitude that we ought to have is we need to think about where would we be today if it wasn't for God's love towards us and it wasn't for Christ's love towards us. So he says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. And so that's what we need to think about when somebody wrongs us. Have we forgiven them? Because if we don't forgive them, God won't forgive us. Remember when Jesus taught them to pray, he says that, you know, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sinned against us. Forgive those who've sinned against us. And so we ask for God's forgiveness of us just as we forgive those who've sinned against us. In Colossians, the third chapter, Paul writing to the Colossians, he says, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, goes back to the same thing that was said in Ephesians. He says, Christ, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. We need to have a forgiving heart. We need to be a forgiving people. And sometimes it's hard to do. And I've met people before, I forgive them, but I'm not going to have anything to do with them. You know, it's almost like they're saying one thing out of one side of their mouth, but yet on the other side, their actions are totally different. They really haven't forgotten or forgave them. Because sometime down the road, you may hear somebody saying, well, remember what so-and-so did to me? And they just start to bring up one thing after another. But they really haven't forgiven that person, you know, because it's in the back of their mind. They've been angry about it. Somebody's hurt them, and they'll constantly bring it up, bring it up, bring it up. But he says, even as Christ forgave you, you also must do. And what would we do if God remembered everything that we did? God said that he forgives us, and that when we confess our sins one to another, and we're going to confess our sins to Him. Paul, writing to the Thessalonians, he said, "Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are also doing." So that's our responsibility, is to be able to comfort each other and also to edify or lift up one another. And so we need to think about our lives, and I need to look at my life and what am I doing? Am I a comfort to others? Am I edifying those or am I tearing them down? You know, because that's going to have an impact on my eternal destiny. And then in Peter, which I think is a good way when we look at wrapping this lesson up, when he starts talking about, he says, finally, when somebody says that, it's like, here, this is the end of everything that I've said to you. But he makes this one clear statement. He says, finally, all of you be of one mind. We talked about that, of having the same mind, the same heart towards one another. Peter echoes this same thought where he says, that all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tenderhearted. We read that before, right? Be courteous. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling. And that goes back to what we talked about before, is that sometimes we may not have a forgiving heart. We want to get back. We want to get even. And so we need to think about those things. God said that not to render evil for evil, but let me take care of those things. I'll handle it. You go ahead and forgive. You go on about your way. But he says, but on the contrary, blessing. Totally different. Returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling. He says, no, on the contrary. Blessing. Knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. And so that goes back to our eternal destiny. As once again, as it says, that you may inherit a blessing. It's interesting that the words that he uses in our language, he says, you may inherit. And so there's this, an opportunity that if we started walking our lives according to his word, and we had the love that we have, but yet all of a sudden our hearts and our minds begin to go back to the world and start to do things our way, and we put ourselves first, then we're not really looking out for anyone else but ourselves. And he says that knowing that you were called to this, called to what? To love as brothers, that you may inherit a blessing. And then 1 Peter 4, and Peter continues this letter, he says, and above all things, have fervent love for one another. We find this love is not just a stable love, but he says a fervent love, one love that's of action. He says, have fervent love for one another. And why? For love will cover a multitude of sins. And so when you think about forgiveness, that would cover a multitude of sins. The fervent love that we would have somebody else is because if we love them, we're not going to sin against them. And if they have the same love again towards us, is that they won't sin against us. And so, once again, he says, above all things, you have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. So when you look at it, just to remember, and we've said this before, is to think about it, that your eternal destiny is not a matter of chance. You know, it is a matter of choice. And so those are choices that we make every single day. And you may, I just liken it to road rage or anything else similar to that, is that those are choices that we make. Sometimes things, we talk about things happening to us by chance, but most of the time there's things that we do as a matter of choice. And it's our election whether we do things God's way, or we do things our way. But we have to remember that if we do things our way, what the result is going to be, our eternal destiny is not going to be with God. We're not going to inherit that blessing of having an eternal home with Him, but that we will have eternal damnation. So remember that your eternal destiny is not a matter of chance. It's a matter of choice. And it's your choice. It's my choice of what I do. How do I treat other people? Do I love my brothers and sisters like I should? Do I love those outside of the body of Christ? Christ has said that Christ died for us while we were still sinners. We need to have the same love towards one another. We need to have the same love towards those who are outside of Christ. We need to see Christ in us, not us in us. So remember those things. And so if you're here this evening, if you never obeyed the gospel of Christ, where are you going to spend your eternal destiny? You have a choice to make in your life. And if you've identified and said that you've heard God's word and you realize that you have sinned against Him, that you need to have your life corrected before Him, you need to believe on Jesus. And if you've never really studied the Bible and the things that you need to do, talk to one of the brethren here and we'll be happy to study with you. But you need to believe. And you also need to repent, just like we talked about before, is that maybe you have the heart that's, you know, one that reviles and one that takes pleasure in harming other people or getting back at other people. You know, the thing is that we need to repent. If we're doing the things contrary to God's word, we need to turn around and do an about face and head away from the things that we did, and that we may do the things which are pleasing unto Him. And so then we need to confess that Jesus is the Son of God. God sent His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. And as Jack mentioned this morning, it's more than what people go to heaven in every different way that you can think of, because that's the way they want God's word is. It's their word and how they take it. It's not God's word. And so He says to confess your sins to one another, that Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so He's the one that we need to please, as well as God our Father. And then one needs to be baptized into Christ, washing away his sins, being born again as a new creature in Christ. But maybe you are a child of God, but yet you've turned and gone back into the world. Maybe things are all about you and not about others. Everything that we do may depend upon what is it going to do? How is it going to benefit me? And we need to be careful with those things, because our eternal destiny is a matter of choice. So if you take your Bibles and turn to number 287, number 287, it says, "There is a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us haste, oh haste, to its brink. 'Tis a fount of love from the source above, and He bids us all freely drink. There's a living stream with a crystal gleam, from the throne of life now it flows. While the waters roll, let the weary soul hear the call that forth freely goes. There's a rock that's cleft and no soul is left that may not its pure waters share. 'Tis for you and me and its stream I see. Let us hasten joyfully there. Will you come? Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me. Thirsty soul, hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all." If you'll stand, we'll go ahead and sing this song as Mark leads us.